Join us as Pastor Ron Duty teaches how to hear the voice of the Lord and the importance of obeying when we do.
Turn with me this morning, if you would, to Jonah, the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1, Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, and then we will focus in on Jonah and his call. And the title of this sermon is Hearing the Voice of the Lord. Hearing the Voice of the Lord. And I encourage you sometimes, there's a book out there and it's called Impressions from Above and Impressions from Below. If you ever get a chance to run that book down, run it down and read it. Because sometimes we deal with situations in life and we wonder, where do we get these thoughts? How do we get these impressions? Do they come from God or do they come from the devil? And so I encourage you to read that book sometime, but Hearing the Voice of the Lord. And in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, and to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Can you imagine that, a prophet trying to get away from the presence of the Lord? Yeah, sometimes we get in there, our way of thinking sometimes that we can do these things and God doesn't know it. But God's omniscient. He knows everything about you. I like the Bible says, He knows every hair on your head. That's good to know, isn't it? That God knows me that much. There's a song out that says, He that knows me most loves me best. And I like that song because it tells me a lot about God. Amen. Now, whenever you study the book of Jonah, you can find out a lot about this. Now, it's interesting whenever you deal with this. And let me just tell you several things here. Let me tell you the story first, all right? And then we'll give you what the names of Jonah's name and Amittai. Could you imagine, just put Bobby there who does a lot of fishing. And I don't know who else in this room that does a lot of fishing. The other Bobby. There's a lot of Bobby. But anyhow, just put them out there on a beach somewhere and have them fishing. Now, you know, whenever Jonah went down to Nineveh, he was very successful. So I had a feeling that whenever God finally got finished with him, he was pretty persuasive about the message of God and that they needed to repent. But if you put Bobby and them out there along the beach and have them fishing, then all of a sudden this big fish, huge fish, was to swim up to shore. Then all of a sudden that fish was to say, let's just say, all right, I'm paraphrasing, just kind of burped a little bit. And then this guy pops out and land on the beach beside Bobby and Bobby fishing there, and whoever else might be fishing with them. And he'd been in this fish's belly for 3 days. You can imagine what he might look like. Got all these seaweeds on him and stuff like that. And then he looks at Bobby and everybody else, and he says to them, "Repent, repent." I think that would be a very persuasive message, don't you? I think if those guys had just repented, they would probably repent again because they would get the message that there's something unique going on here. So here it is. Jonah is trying to get away from the Lord. Right? He gets a message from the Lord first. And it's a unique thing as you think about this. Let me give you a couple little thoughts here. How many of you know, and I'll ask this question time and time again, how many of you know what your name means? Some of you know what your name means? Okay. I remember I had a sister, her name was Wanda, and her name meant wonder. But it didn't mean that, in a sense, it didn't mean that she was just wandering around like she didn't know where she was going. But it was kind of like a Christian name, meaning she was just wandering through this life, knowing where she was going, to glory. And several years ago, she passed away, and she finally wandered home. I thought that was kind of neat, her name to be Wanda. My name is Charles. My real name is Charles. Most of them call me Ron, but my name is Charles. And I like my name, Charles. It's an old name. It goes. We can date it all the way back to about, 1840. Then we can date all back, but not Charles. Charles began in about 1840, and my name came from someone back then. But my name, and it fits. It means manly. Here's the name Jonah. It's unique. And the name Jonah, and you can look this up, the name Jonah means dove. Dove. And Jonah's father's name was Midian. And his name means truth. Isn't that interesting? That here in the beginning of this book, he said, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Midian, saying." All right. So here you have a guy, his name is Dove. Well, this is my own thinking, okay? You're not going to find it in any commentary. This is me. But here he is, this guy's name Dove, his name Jonah, whose name means Dove. His father's name is Midian, which means truth or my truth. And here it is, God comes to this guy and he gives him a message, the truth, and he tells him to go and preach to Nineveh. Now, if you are familiar with Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, there in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, it says something like this. It says that you and I are like sheep being sent out among wolves, and that we are to be as wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves. How many of you knew that verse? You and I are like sheep being sent out among wolves, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, and that we are to be like as wise as serpents, but as gentle as dove. Meaning that there's a message that you and I have to go out into the world, but understand that the world is not a necessarily a good place. It's a hostile place. And then if we go out there, we would be wise like the serpent, but as gentle as dove with the message of God. Share it with those around us in love. And so here it have Jonah being given the word of God. He said, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son." So the word of the Lord comes to Jonah, and all that God wants him to do is simply just share the word. That's it. Nothing more. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just share the word. Now, if you would put us in this situation, you and I are like Jonah. We have a calling, right? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19. Many of you remember that verse and probably have memorized that verse. It says, "Therefore, go ye therefore in all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have told you." And then he gives us that great promise. And he says, "And lo, I am with you unto the end of the world. Go you like serpent, wise, but as dove, loving, compassionate, sharing just the word." So when we look at Jonah this morning, let me give you several things I'd like to share with you. The first thing that we see is that Jonah's call was a divine call. It comes from God. Now, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah." This put Jonah in a very honorable place, wouldn't you think? Now, think about it just for a moment. You have the God of the universe, the person who created all things and everything, and he singled Jonah out, and he comes to Jonah and it with his word, and he tells Jonah, "Jonah, I've got something I want you to do. I want you to go down to Nineveh." We say that would be an honor, wouldn't it? Folks, let me share something with you this morning. Think about it just for a second. That the same God that called Jonah is the same God that called Isaiah, is the same God that called Jeremiah, and he is the same God that called you and me to be part of his family and to share the word. Just his word. That's it. And listen to me. We don't have to go out there pressure people. We don't have to go out there and knock people around. We don't have to go out there and be mean to people. We just go out there like doves and just say, this is who I am. I have a place of honor in the family of God because God has called me into his family, put me there, and because of that, I have a message from him, and this is his word. If we can't do it verbally, we could do it with just a reflection of the way we live, and people will see and know that there is something different. You ever have somebody just look at you and say, boy, there is something so peculiar about you? Now, listen to me here. This is interesting, and this is a compliment to a person that's here this morning. I work with a bunch of guys at a place up north. I'm not going to give the name of it. And there was one guy came to work there, and his name was Joe, all right? And Joe can raise his hand if I allow me to put him on the spot. That's Joe right there. And out of all these guys that works there, now listen, out of all these guys that works there, I didn't have to talk to Joe. I just knew that Joe was a peculiar individual. There was something different about him than the other guys in the shop. And then as he and I got to know each other, got talking, I found out Joe is a Christian. But not only is he a Christian, but he occasionally and used to preach the gospel. And he didn't have to come and tell me that there was something different about him. I knew there was. And then finally he had an opportunity to share with me his life and think about it and come find out he's a brother in the Lord. And so we had a lot in common. So what I'm trying to say is this, is that our lives are a testimony to people out there in a loving manner that we have a God that cares. Now, here's the thing about this, is that whenever the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son there of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. We see that this is a place of honor, but this is a call from the Lord. And let me just give you two things on this real quick, and that is this. Number one, without God's call upon your life, don't attempt to do anything for God. You know what I'm saying? There have been times whenever I look at people and I wanted to share Jesus with them. And there's times that I'm sure you've done the same thing, where I wanted to share Jesus with them, but it just wasn't there. The Spirit wasn't there. It wasn't the timing wasn't right. Something was going on. There was just something about it that wasn't good. And there are times when I have attempted to share Christ with individuals knowing that God says, this ain't right. And so what I'm trying to say is this, if God is not in it, don't attempt it. You know what I'm saying? But if God is in it, don't avoid it. You know what I mean? Whatever God calls you to do, do it. But just do it with confidence, knowing that God is in it and that God can and will make a difference in the lives of people that you share with. Not that you are doing it, but simply because God is doing it. Because we serve a great and mighty God. He's capable of meeting the need of people around us. And if he called us. Here it is. He called Jonah to do something other. And I've shared this story many times with you about a guy by the name of Ray. And I loved Ray. Ray was a guy with boldness for the Lord. He was a one. Now, listen, he was a peculiar person. And if he was here this morning, he's not because he's home with the Lord. But if he was here this morning, you would know Ray was a peculiar person because he did some peculiar things sometimes. But he said one thing to me one time that really touched my heart. He said this. He said, you know, if God calls me to do something other, he said, I fear for the person who would get in my way to try to prevent me from doing it if God wants me to do it. Amen? Because nothing can stop us if God is in it. But if God is not in it, there's nothing we can do. Amen. But here it is. God was in this call on Jonah, and he says, go on down there to Nineveh. Now, if you've ever studied this book, you'll know that this was not Jonah's idea, all right? Now, he didn't want to do this, and I get those words mixed up. Sometimes I say ideal, and then people have to correct me. It's idea. And then in my head, I'm thinking it's the same word. But Karen tells, she said, no, it's not the same word. It means something entirely different. But here's the thing. This had to be God in the life of Jonah. Because if you come to the end of this book, Jonah hated these Ninevites, didn't he? And the reason he didn't want to go and the reason he ran, and this is we'll touch up on later on, because he was knew about God's grace, and he said to God, he basically at the end of the story, he said to God, he said, Reed, I didn't want to go down there. And he said, I know if I would preach repentance to them, he said, they will turn to you. And he said, I didn't want that. What I wanted you to do is I wanted you to just send down fireballs from heaven and just destroy them and get rid of them. But no, you didn't want to do that. You wanted to save them. Ain't that, aren't we like that sometimes, though? God called us to do something. I ain't gonna do it. You know, I had a lady, I know this gets off on a tangent sometimes. I had a lady tell me one time, she said, you know something, I'm going to go to hell. And I said, really? Why would you, how do you know, and why would you want to go there? She said, well, I know I'm going to go to hell. And I said, why that? She said, well, because I hate somebody. And she said, I hate them so bad for something that they did. And that I would never be willing to forgive them. And God tells me I need to forgive them in order to come to know him as my Savior. Could you imagine? And I'll be honest with you, for a person that she hated so much that was going to end up sending her to hell as a result of her hatred is probably someone didn't even know she hated them. You know what I mean? And these people down in Nineveh, they probably didn't care whether Jonah hated them or not. Jonah said, I ain't going down there. So he was willing to be disobedient to God. So we know that this had to be God's idea. Amen. And folks, sometimes God calls us to do some things that we think, how is it possible for me to do that? But we just need to rely on God and say, God, this has got to be your idea because I know I can't accomplish it. I know I can't do it, but I know you can. And because you can do it, I'm willing to go. Here's the thing that Jonah, I think, is, and we sometimes do. Remember there were the children of Israel down in Egypt? Can you remember? And then God comes to the children of Israel. He decides to deliver them. He brings them out of bondage down there. And as he's leading them through the wilderness, he leads them, I think, with a cloud during the day and a fire by night. Remember that? And the only requirement that they had to deal with in that situation is this, is never get ahead of the cloud and never get ahead of the fire. Just follow God. And you know what God says to you and me? I only want you to follow me. And how do we do that? Well, there are several ways we can find out, but let me just give you one. That's God's word. Whatever God's word says, do it. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Just do what God said. Now, here's the thing that I believe. Some people don't, but I believe that this here is God's word. From the very first word in the beginning to the very last word where John says, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. This is God's word. Now, if you want to know what God's word for your life is, get into it and you will find everything that God wants you to do. Now, so here it is. We realize that this is had to be a call from God. The second thing is and now this is something that I believe. You don't have to follow with this, okay? It's just something I think. I think it was a call that was done in secret. He wasn't commissioned by any church to go and do it. He didn't have to get it with any council to get their permission to go and do it. He just simply was there in prayer, probably with God, in a relationship with God. Now, I know there's a lot of things we can debate about, but at least he was there, and God spoke to him. And I think it's in a secret place. Remember what Jesus tells you and me to do in his word? He says, no, we really want to have this intimate relationship with God. What do? Find the closet and go get in that closet, get out on your knees, and just talk with God. I remember there was a guy, and I've shared this, I know I've shared it with you, but I'm going to share it with you again. But me and him were in a prayer closet, and we were just praying about a revival that was going to take place. And I never forgot it. And this is 30 years ago. And we were praying in that closet, never said anything to each other. I was going to be preaching certain night, and he was going to preach other night. And so we prayed for however long left. And years later, probably about 20 years later, we got together again. And I asked him, I said, do you remember that time we were in that prayer closet when we were praying? He said, yes. I said, man, I said, have you prayed? I just felt the presence of God in that room. Just felt it. And he said, you know, he said, Ron, he said, have you prayed? And I didn't think I did anything. I just thought I didn't say that much at all. But I said something. He said, you know, whenever you prayed, he said, I felt the same thing. He said, I just felt God's presence there. And folks, sometimes we just need to listen. Listen to God as he speaks his word and be willing to do whatever it is God calls us to do. Jonah here was a little bit stubborn, and God had to teach him a lesson. But he finally got communicated enough with him that he finally got the message, and he did it. So what is it that we do whenever we find God's word? And how do we determine God's word? Let me give you three ways real quick, all right? One is just simply listen for God's voice. You'll hear it. God speaks. Man, I argue with God all the time. You know, I know you do too, because that we're human and we do these things. And God is always talking. And if you will study Blackaby's book, Experiencing God, you'll find out in his book, he says God is always at work in the lives of the individual. We just need to listen for God. And whenever we hear God, is that sometimes we say, well, I'm not sure if that was God or not. You ever done that? I'm not sure if God said that. I don't even, and I'm, maybe even Jonah might have wrestled with that. Did God really want me to go down to Nineveh? If he does, I ain't going. He was pretty determined. He had his mindset on that. He would listen from the voice from below. But maybe he ought to sought some counsel somewhere. But anyhow, we hear God first. And then whenever we hear words from God, we look, the second place that we find that we know that God's word is speaking is when we go into God's word, because usually God's word will confirm it as you read it. It'll bring you under conviction to do what God has called you or me or us to do. Amen. And God works that way. First, he reveals himself. And then after he reveals himself to his spirit, then he reveals himself to his word, and then there will always be people around to confirm it. Amen? That man, I remember never, some of you probably think this is difficult, but I remember if I was called into the ministry, man, I was wrestling with God. I'm thinking, man, I'm not the guy. I really, and still today, I have a hard time with it. I'm thinking, man, God, there are too many people out there a lot greater than I am, do a lot better job than I can. Why do you want me? I don't know. But I'll give it a shot. But I remember whenever I surrendered to the Lord to do this, and I began to read in his word, I got excited about it, what God was doing and how he revealed it to me. And then I had people around and say, hey, man, you're not doing a bad job. And I think, well, I did a lousy job, you know. But I had people say, nah, not true. Just real quickie here, and I might have shared this with you, but stay awake with me just for a few minutes, okay? I remember in my first sermon is that I had always been told as a kid from as far back as I can remember, is children are to be seen and not heard. You know what I mean? I mean, that was a constant thing I was told whenever I was a kid by older people. And so I did a lot of listening. And then whenever God called me into the ministry, my first church I had an opportunity to go and preach at, there was a, and listen, there was about 400 people there that Sunday morning. And I got up in front of them, and I preached. And boy, I got down off that pulpit, and I felt miserable. And I went back to the back of that church, and people come by, they shook my hand. And one lady, she said something. She said, I don't know what she said. She said something to me. She said, that was a good sermon. I thought, all right, somebody heard something, you know. And then I said, well, thank you. She said, well, you're not supposed to say thank you. You're supposed to say it's the Spirit of God working in you that caused you to be able to do that. And so, I mean, you know, I'm already down here on the ground. And she just hauled off and kicked me real hard. And then I asked Karen, and I had 10 points that morning. I remember real well. I had 10 points. And I asked Karen, I said, how did I do? And, well, Karen's always going to say, you did a good job. And she did. She said, you did a pretty good job. She just, you just weren't up there very long. And I had thought I was up there for an hour. But I was only up there for maybe about 10 minutes. I went through those 10 points, wham, 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 where? And I remember I got home and I sat down on the couch. Oh, not the couch. I sat in the chair, recliner. And I was arguing with God in that chair. I said, God, you got the wrong guy. I'm telling you. It's not me. I'm not your man. You need to find somebody else. I ain't going to do that no more. I said, because those people out there are old people in that church, and they know more about this than I do. And you want me as a young person to talk with them. And I've always been told not to tell old people what to do. I want you to know, I hope now I can do what I want to. But I'm serious. The word, now listen to me, the word of the Lord came to me sitting in that chair. He said, listen, if you get up there and you do it, nothing will come of it. He said, what you need to do, just keep your mouth shut and let me do it. And he said, whatever I say to those old people, listen. He said, whatever I say to those people, they're going to listen. You know why they're going to listen to me? Because I'm older than they are. That's what he said. And I'm serious. I heard this in my heart. And I got out of that chair and I think, you're right, Lord. You're right. Wisdom comes from God. Amen. Amen. God is good. So I think Jonah got his message in secret. He was there on his knees in the presence of God. And God comes and tells him, I want you to do this. Just do it, Jonah. And folks, let me tell you something. If God calls you to do something, just do it. I don't care. If he asks you to witness to somebody, witness to somebody. If he asks you to live a life that is right in his presence, just live it. And be bold about it. Don't be afraid to be a Christian. Don't be afraid to be Christ-like. Amen. Because if you look at the spear, now we say the third thing we see here is we see the prophet's spear, the environment that he lived in. And he was called to go to Nineveh, which was a very rich city. Not only were they rich, that they were corrupt. Not only were they corrupt, but they were godless. Not were they only godless. It was a dangerous thing that God called him to do. You ever looked at somebody, let me ask you this. As a Christian, have you ever looked at somebody out there who has sin in their life and tell that person, you need to straighten your act out. You got sin going on in your life and you need to get right with the Lord. Tell them that sometimes and see what they do. Yeah. You better do it like a dove. Because if you don't, that serpent's going to come back and get you. People today, they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear God's word. And the unique thing about this with Jonah, he went down to Nineveh. They listened. You know why they listened? Most of you know why they listened. They listened because God was already there. And they heard because God's Spirit did it. So we live in the same environment, don't we? America's a rich, rich nation. You might not be rich because the government has taken a lot of it, but But we live in a rich nation. We live in a corrupt country. We live in a godless country. And I think as Christians, and I'm bringing this to a close, all right? I think in a way, we live in a dangerous environment as Christians. And so we are in the same situation John's in. But God says, you got a message. And your message is my word. Share it. Amen. And with boldness, with confidence, knowing that I am going to do the work. Now, let me just throw this last thing at you, and I will let you go. We see the prophet duty here, and this is kind of unique. He was just simply to denounce wickedness. I see churches, I see pastors today that they won't do that. They won't. They allow anything and everything to go. They won't stand on certain parts of God. Listen, this is our foundation right here. And whatever it says, that's where we stand. And if it says something about something that you don't like, that's your problem. You have to take it up. Don't take it up with me. Take it up with God. Amen. Denounce wickedness. But not only do we denounce wickedness, but we proclaim the nearness of God. And not only proclaim the nearness of God, but we also proclaim that the coming judgment of God, and that God is a merciful, loving, caring God. This book proves it. Nineveh was a wicked place, but God was there with his grace and mercy. And God is here with his grace and mercy. God is out there with his grace and mercy. You and I have a message to share. Let me just say this, and this is my closing part, okay? I think you said you said it three times already. That's one of those impressions from below, just to let you know. The word prophet means to proclaim. It's to proclaim. And some people say, well, there's no prophet. There are no prophets like this. But you and I still have the responsibility and the obligation to God to proclaim his word to those people around us, wherever it's at. Whenever God calls us to do it, with wisdom and with meekness, like a dove, allowing God's spirit to touch their hearts and life, to change them, make a difference. Amen. Stand with me as we close this morning. Father, this morning we just want you to have your own way. We thank you, Father, that you have called us, you have given us this privilege to be part of your family. We thank you, Father, that you have given us a message to those around us, and that is that you are near, that you care, that you love them, and you want to be part of their lives like you're part of ours. And you want to make a difference in their lives too. Father, you want to save them from an eternal separation from you. We have a message to share with them that you are capable of doing that, and you want to do it because you love them. Help us, Father, with confidence to live a life that is pleasing to you, where others will see and know that we're part of your family. This morning, close this service with this song of invitation. If there is any decision that needs to be made, we pray, Father, they'd be made for you, for your glory, and for your kingdom. And we just thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.